What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be talking about migraines. I see patients on a weekly basis with headaches, and I wouldn't wish this condition on anyone. Upwards of 50 million American adults suffer from migraines, which is about 12% of the population. Why is this number so high, and what can we do to treat and prevent this debilitating disease? I have an expert, Debbie Weidel, on migraine headaches on the podcast today to break down these headaches and give us some actionable tips to treat and prevent. So with that, let's introduce Debbie. Debbie is a functional health coach certified through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and the Institute for Functional Health Coaching. She is the founder of In the Balance Health Coaching and the Freedom from Migraines Method. She is also a proud mom of two amazing kids, a little Hebanese dog, a wife of 30 years, and a lover of learning. Debbie helps busy moms dealing with migraines uncover what is holding them back from migraine freedom so they can live their life pain and symptom free, spend the time they want with family and friends, and stop missing out on the things they enjoy. Using a three pillars approach to migraine freedom, Debbie teaches women how to make subtle shifts in their everyday lives to achieve their desired results without taking countless medications and following complicated migraine elimination diets. Debbie's passion stems from her past experience with daily migraines and her desire to ensure no one has to live through years of endless migraines as she did. With that, let's welcome to my guest, Debbie, to the podcast. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
The pleasure's all mine. So let's dive right in. So how did you get into the health and wellness space, Debbie?
So when I was in my 30s, I had what Dr. Mike Harmon called FLC syndrome, which is basically I felt like crap. Feel like crap syndrome. I spent years trying to figure out why I didn't feel well and why I was getting daily migraines. I knew I was way too young to be exhausted all the time. I had digestive issues. I was dealing with chronic pain, and I was also fighting with depression and anxiety daily. So I started seeing a series of doctors, and after going to seven different doctors and being put on over seven different medications, all for symptoms related to migraines and hyperthyroidism, I still didn't feel well. I finally realized that I really had to take my life into my own hands. So I began researching alternatives to ending my migraines and reversing my thyroid condition. I stumbled across functional medicine and started following people like Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Amy Myers, Dr. Tom O'Brien, Jox Ass and Sean Croxton, and so many others. And I absolutely fell in love with functional medicine approach. I found it intriguing that I was actually in control of my own health, and it was definitely a big eye-opening experience for me. And for those who aren't really familiar with functional medicine follows the approach of really looking at the body as a whole, not just its parts, and seeking the root cause of the problem versus trying to treat individual symptoms. So if someone has a migraine, in functional medicine, we look for why someone is getting a migraine and we try to fix that versus just treating the head pain and other migraine-related symptoms, which will keep coming back over and over again if we don't get to the root cause of what that problem is. I was really always led to believe, though, that through the medical community, that a lot of what happens to us was genetic. And my mother, my grandmother, my sister had migraines, as well as thyroid issues. So I kind of thought I was destined for a life of the same thing. But really what I realized after researching was genetics, they might load the gun, so to speak, but we're the ones that pull the trigger based on our lifestyle and food choices, as well as the environment that we expose ourselves to on a daily basis. And this aha moment is really when I decided that I needed to share what I learned with others so that they can spare themselves those countless years of feeling like garbage and living in chronic pain. So while I was doing all this research, that's when I found the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I just didn't even hesitate to enroll. I earned my health coaching certification, and then I immediately applied to the Institute for Functional Health Coaching to get even further training, and I've really been helping people ever since.
Wow, what a good answer. I mean, there's so much in there, what you just said. I like, first of all, FLC. I mean, I don't like it, but I think I hope you don't feel like crap anymore, but we all have that from time to time. So I like that. I'm going to start using that if you're okay with that.
Absolutely. Oh, it's Dr. Mark Hyman, so I'm sure he won't mind at all.
And I love who you're following. I follow the same people. You know, we just met over the phone a couple weeks ago. You asked to be on this, and I just did some research on you, and you definitely know what you're talking about. I love your niche with females and migraines. I think that's awesome. And you have functional before your name. You're not a functional medicine doctor, but anything functional, I like that. I agree with that. It makes sense to me. Let's get to the root cause. Let's do some digging. And I love what you said with the gun analogy. Genetics is the gun that loads the gun, and then we can either pull the trigger or not based on how we live our life.
Absolutely.
And that's more epigenetics, correct?
Yes, yes.
So we have genetics, which is our hardwired genes, and then epi means above, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So much of each of us and how we get into our careers is our stories. So your personal story, I touched on in the intro, but let's go a little bit deeper with that. So tell us more about your personal history with migraines.
Yeah, so as far back as I can remember, I had headaches. They weren't really often, but I would get what I thought were tension headaches, a lot of sinus headaches, and definitely PMS headaches every single month. But I never really thought much about it because, first of all, everyone in my family had headaches, but I just thought they were kind of normal. If they were bad, I would take an over-the-counter medication for the pain, but usually they just kind of ran their course, so I never thought twice about it. It wasn't until in my 30s I began noticing that the headaches were occurring a lot more often, and they started to become a lot more severe. I also was experiencing chronic neck pain, which was worse when I had a headache. And after my second child was born, my headaches kind of shifted from what I thought to be normal headaches to migraines. I went from being able to take like ibuprofen or acetaminophen to relieve my pain to starting to take numerous prescriptions for migraines and over-the-counter meds at the same time, just to try to find a little bit of relief in there. I was on abortive medications, preventative migraine medications. At one point in time, I was on prescriptions for depression and for sleep issues, as well as taking over-the-counter meds almost like candy some days. It was really bad. I would take them for overall body aches, digestive issues, and so many different symptoms that were associated with migraines. And when I look back now, I actually just really can't believe how much medication I took in a day. I typically had that head and neck pain with migraines, as well as light and sound sensitivity, which a lot of people get, and extreme exhaustion. I would often get a stuffy nose and have severe sinus pressure too at the same times. And sometimes I'd feel nauseous, but usually I didn't have a ton of digestive issues, which was odd because my mom did, but my grandmother didn't. So I had two young kids at the time. My migraines really increased, and when they became more severe, plus I was working as well. So I kind of adopted this attitude that I was unstoppable and pushed through every migraine until I couldn't really do it anymore. I would take every medication I had, try every trick to get me through the day, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners who have migraines, they use the same ones like ice, heat, massage therapy, physical therapy. I would wear sunglasses all the time. You would rarely see me without sunglasses. I took medications. I also did chiropractic adjustments, essential oils, you name it. And now don't get me wrong, I love all those things and they're all great to help ease pain when you do get a migraine. But my biggest problem was I was trying to use them as a replacement to taking care of myself instead of in conjunction with self-care, which was a big problem. You know, had I used some of these tricks and let myself, I don't know, rest when I got a migraine, you know, when I first let it appear and maybe made self-care a priority daily while working on ways to stop those migraines, those tips would have been phenomenal. And actually, those are some things that I do today. I definitely get regular chiropractic adjustments. I go to a massage therapist and I try to keep up on all those things and do the self-care first instead of using it as a band-aid to fix the problem. Because I was always hoping I could have my cake and eat it too. And it doesn't work that way. You know, I wanted to push my body to the limits and hope that I could keep going with a few tips and tricks, you know, instead of putting in that time daily that we all really need to take care of ourselves.
It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. And it's, yeah, it definitely takes time. It's a marathon.
Absolutely.
I remember going through school and learning about headaches, and it was intimidating. It was overwhelming. I'm not going to worry right now that I don't deal with headaches because I see, like I said, I see patients on a weekly basis with headaches, and I can just see the pain and discomfort in their eyes, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But when I remember learning about headaches, it was very confusing. There were so many different types. But then when we first chatted on the phone a couple weeks ago, you said that most headaches are migraines. So can you touch on exactly what is a migraine headache, and what did you mean by that most headaches are migraines?
Absolutely. This is something that really confuses a lot of people. So a migraine, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it's actually a reoccurring throbbing headache that typically affects one side of the head, and it's often accompanied by nausea and disturbed vision. But technically, a migraine can only be diagnosed if you have five headaches that meet the following three criteria. So first, your headache has to last for a minimum of 4 hours. Second, it must have at least two of the following characteristics. So you have to have at least pain on one side of the head, or pulsating quality, moderate to severe intensity, or it needs to be something that's aggravated by physical activity. And then lastly, the headache must be accompanied by at least one of the following symptoms, which are nausea or vomiting, or sensitivity to light or sound. So these are the symptoms that describe an actual classic migraine. But the problem is, there's absolutely nothing classic about a migraine. A migraine can be classic, like those things that I just described, but it can also be so many other things. So you could see throbbing on one side of the head or both, but you could also feel stabbing pain. Your pain could be in your neck, like mine started quite a bit, or in your shoulders, and then move up your head as the headache increases in intensity, or the pain could just stay in your neck all day. A migraine can have symptoms like nausea, dizziness, people experience tingling hands and feet, numbness on one side, as well as many people actually experience vision disturbances. You could have sinus pain and pressure with a runny nose or stuffy nose, which is when a lot of people actually think they have sinus infections, which they typically don't. It's usually just a migraine that has, you know, that stays with you for quite a while. That's not uncommon. People experience brain fog, forgetfulness. Some have digestive issues like diarrhea, bloating, and constipation. Typically, most are exhausted, but very unable to sleep. And some people actually feel flushed and get a fever from a migraine. So, you know, the symptoms are all over the place. And there are even some people that have a slew of those symptoms, but only slight head pain, but it's still a migraine. So the thing to remember is a migraine is so unique to each person and can be different actually each time you experience one. So sometimes you can feel that head pain with a slight neck and shoulder ache, while others you can't even get out of bed because your head feels like it's going to explode and every light and sound feels like a knife stabbing in your head. So we just need to remember that they're all levels of pain and symptoms, but they really all are migraines.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Most headaches are migraines.
Yep.
However, every patient technically may have a different clinical presentation.
Absolutely. And it's something that doesn't have to be the same all the time. Like for me, I did get quite a few headaches that most people would have thought were sinus headaches, but they were migraines. But I also got PMS migraines, and I also had more migraines that were considered a typical migraine. So it's different all the time. And that's what makes it so difficult for people to realize that that's what they're suffering with, because we as a society have put these labels on different headaches when they're all actuality,
yeah,
inflammation, you know.
This is so good to hear, because yeah, being a doctor with my doctor hat on with a patient, I'm like, okay, migraine is one side of the head. If it's in the neck, it's not really a migraine. That's going to be more of a cervicogenic headache. If it's behind the eye, it's probably more of a cluster headache. and then you got to have an aura with it. But that could be wrong. I mean, it doesn't have to be
No,
like
it
that.
does not. It does not.
So how many Americans suffer from migraine headaches?
So according to the Migraine Research Foundation and the American Migraine Foundation, it's anywhere between 36 and 38 million Americans that they say suffer with migraines. And that number is actually more than the number of people who have diabetes and asthma combined, which I find so staggering. So that kind of breaks down to 1 in 4 U.S. households includes someone with a migraine. And as you alluded to in the intro, that's about 12% of the population. 18% of those are women, 6% men, and 10% of those are now children.
Wow.
Which is just so scary to me. They're not obviously not typically in children. It's most common between the ages of 18 and 44. But I actually believe the number of people who are suffering with migraines is probably closer to 50 million and plus, because if you look at the number of people reported to have headaches versus migraines, we're saying 38 million are reported to have migraines, but 36 million Americans are reported to suffer with headaches.
Right.
So if most people don't realize the difference, you know, when they're looking for those classic signs, then they're not reporting that headache, you know, as an actual migraine.
So I can keep those numbers in my intro. Those are all
absolutely. I believe they are. I don't have scientific, you know, numbers or research to go behind it. But if you look at the way the headaches are and the way that they track, then yeah, definitely so.
Awesome. I'm going to keep it. You're more of an expert than I am. This is perfect. So what about males versus females? Why is it more common in females?
You know, there unfortunately isn't exact scientific proof, but if you look at a lot of the doctors who research this quite often, and you look at the age group, there is definitely a direct correlation with hormones. So you're going to find, you know, a lot of young women will start migraines either at puberty time or, you know, after or before the birth of a baby, or, you know, menopausal migraines. So there is some thought process around that, but also around the stress level of women during those ages, you know, trying to work, trying to raise children, trying to run a household. So there could be a lot of different reasons for that. You know, sleep falling in there as well, because you get less sleep when you're working, and sleep is one of the main triggers that is noted for migraines.
Mm-hmm. What are the most common causes of migraine headaches?
So doctors are definitely not in agreement on this. What actually makes some people susceptible to migraines and others rarely experience head pain, but there are definitely many things they agree can be common triggers with most migraines. So a couple I just mentioned, but things like lack of quality sleep or actually getting too much sleep can be a definite migraine trigger. Skipping meals is another big one, and that's more because of the blood sugar swing. So if you're someone who eats the typical standard American diet, you know, eating a lot of processed foods or foods with sugar in them, you're going to find that if you're not eating regular meals, this is going to affect you more and affect your migraines more, because your body is running basically on sugar versus running on fat. Bright light, loud noises, strong odors, you know, chemicals, those are big triggers. Hormone changes that we just mentioned during puberty, menstrual cycle, pregnancy, and menopause. The stress and anxiety. And actually, a lot of people get headaches after a stressful situation, which is actually called a letdown migraine. So it's kind of one of those things where your adrenaline keeps you going for so long. And then, you know, when that adrenaline stops and you finally let yourself relax, a lot of people get a migraine at that point in time. There are quite a few people that complain of weather changes and barometric pressure changes. So flying on an airplane as well as a thunderstorm can cause, you know, triggers. Alcohol is a big one. Often red wine, you know, gets the bad rap here with being the, you know, the only alcohol that triggers migraines, but really any kind of alcohol can. Same as caffeine, either too much or, you know, going through withdrawal, those can cause migraines. Foods that contain nitrates, such as hot dogs and lunch meats, and foods that contain MSG, which I'm sure everybody's heard that one, because for quite a long time, it was, oh, you have a migraine, make sure you don't eat Chinese food, because I don't know why, but people only thought that MSG was in Chinese food. But it's a flavor enhancer found in almost all fast foods and broths and seasonings and spices. So a lot of your packaged foods that you're going to find are going to have some form of MSG in them. And the problem with MSG is it's never labeled MSG. You know, there are a million different names for MSG. So you really have to be kind of a label detective to know, you know, whether it's in there or not. And then just a couple other things, food that contain triamines. So like your aged cheeses, your soy products, fava beans, hard sausage, smoked fish, just to name a few. And then your artificial sweeteners like aspartame, NutraSweet Equal, those kind of things. Doctors agree and put on this list. And really the list could go on and on, unfortunately. But that's because we're all individual. We all have different triggers, which we can only determine if we spent the time tracking our lives very carefully and looking for patterns, which is extremely difficult to do. And that's why if you go to a doctor, they typically recommend eliminating all of the common triggers that I just listed that they have control over if possible, even if someone's unsure if those are triggers for them. And it's because it's our individuality that makes it next to impossible to rid ourselves of migraines, you know, just by using this kind of a list. So if, you know, if it were that easy to get rid of migraines, everyone would be following the trigger list and ridding themselves of migraines. You know, I definitely know I would have if it was, you know, that easy back then just to say, okay, you know, no more wine, no more this, no more that, and I'll be done. But as I said, because we're all different, it's next to impossible to be able to do that.
And it can change too over the years. I mean, you may have a gluten sensitivity now, and then 10 years later, you get healthier.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa. Now, I didn't hear you touch on dehydration or electrolyte deficiency. Anything
yes,
there?
Dehydration is actually a large trigger. Most of us do not get anywhere the amount of liquid in our diet in a day that we should. And if we do, most of the time we're drinking things that are actually dehydrating. So, you know, one of the biggest tips that I give the people that work with me is to ensure that they drink half of their body weight in ounces in water a day. So if you were someone, you know, that weighed 100 pounds, then you should be drinking 50 ounces of water. But keeping in mind that you can't add alcohol in that number, caffeine in that number, juices, you know, anything like that. We're talking about getting water or herbal teas in that amount so that they're nice and hydrating. And if you do have a cup of coffee, let's say that was 8 ounces, then you should actually add 8 ounces onto your water intake to make sure that, yep, you know, you're keeping yourself nice and hydrated. And one of the recommendations that I actually tell people when they feel a headache coming on, the first thing they should grab for is water. And if it's not going to bother them, if they're not having, you know, some issues with nausea at the moment, to take a little pinch of sea salt and throw it in their water and drink that to try to help with their body not being in balance at the moment. Yep, exactly.
Perfect. I have a lot of patients. I call it an inner bath. I got that from Sean Stevenson on the Model Health Show. He's another good follow. Great podcast. But most of us struggle throughout the day, so we're playing catch up, drinking more water. So I say start the day with about a third of your water, 2 big glasses of water. So I do about 30 to 40 ounces first thing. And I just think of it as an inner bath, just flushing out the insides.
Absolutely.
And it really feels good. And it fills you up. You can have your coffee after that, but like you said, know that you need to supplement. If you have an 8 ounce cup of coffee, you need 8 ounces more of water.
Exactly right. Yeah, I don't go anywhere without a bottle of water. You know, some people are worried when they leave home without their phone, and I don't feel comfortable if I leave home without my water bottle. So
this is a perfect segue. So the next question, what are a few actionable tips that listeners can use today to help treat their migraines?
Perfect. Yeah. So when working on your freedom from migraines, it's so important to start by looking at the root cause of your migraine versus trying to treat all of those symptoms. Because we can take medications for head pain, you know, one for nausea, another for depression, and use essential oils to try to relieve all that pain and apply ice when needed. But all we're really doing is covering up the feelings that we're experiencing from each symptom. And usually, you know, we're not doing it 100% successfully. Kind of like putting that band-aid on a bullet wound. You know, you might see a little result, but we're not fixing the problem and we're not really treating it well either. So instead, we really need to get to the bottom of someone's migraine pain and look at why it's happening. And this is where inflammation comes into the picture. So inflammation we know is a necessary process for our survival. If we think about cutting our finger and it getting red and warm and tingly, we know that that's our inflammation process at work because that process is going to work on healing our finger. And without it, our finger wouldn't heal and our bodies would be incapable to survive if we didn't have that inflammation. But the problem comes in when we have that chronic inflammation because we're living in this state of our body constantly being inflamed. And it's not healthy for us at all. And it's the center of all chronic disease, like migraines. So chronic inflammation happens when we're making those poor lifestyle and food choices, and when we expose ourselves to inflammatory things in the environment, like chemicals and pesticides. So all of these inflammatory choices can be migraine triggers. So things like not sleeping enough, eating processed foods and sugars, lack of exercise, being exposed to chemicals in our environment, as well as a lot of our cleaning and personal care products. All of these things raise the level of inflammation in our body. So one of the challenges with finding a way to get rid of migraines is doctors are still educating us on the importance of elimination to control the migraines and to use medications. But the model that's being used by many physicians, it's based on figuring out our unique triggers and then eliminating them forever while covering up the symptoms with medications that it just usually doesn't work. And we mentioned this, but if anyone listening has tried to actually figure out all of their triggers and then eliminate them every day, they know that it's how hard it is and how impossible it is. For an example, let's say one day you eat chocolate and you feel fine, and the next day you have a small piece of chocolate and you get a migraine. So is chocolate the trigger or isn't it? Because it can actually take 24 to 48 hours for a food or drink to have a trigger-like effect on a migraine. So it makes it like almost next to impossible to track. And we've probably most of your listeners, if they have migraines, have experienced the same thing with alcohol and caffeine and sugary foods and foods with MSG. I hear so often, oh, well, caffeine doesn't trigger my migraine. I had a cup yesterday. But if you go back and look at the history, they had migraines on days that they had caffeine. So there's no way to figure it out. So how can we possibly manage those migraines if we can't figure out what our triggers are? And this is where we work on reducing inflammation in our bodies and learn about the migraine threshold and what our migraine threshold is.
Perfect. What is that? That's my next
So every
question.
migraine sufferer has a migraine threshold. It's this level of triggers that they can actually handle before it puts them over the edge and they get a migraine. Not a neurologist out there, Dr. Josh Turknet, I love him, and a migraine specialist, Dr. David Buchholz, they stress the importance of knowing your migraine threshold for success and staying well below it to achieve that migraine freedom that you're looking for. And I found the best way to describe this is by using an example of sand going through a sieve. So if you've ever, played with a sieve on the beach with your kids when making sandcastles, when you put sand in the sieve at a normal pace, the sand will come out the holes in the bottom and it works just fine. It works as it should with that specific amount of sand being put in at that nice steady pace. But instead, if you take a bucket and you dump a ton of sand into the sieve all at one time, not all the sand's going to go through the sieve, but some instead is going to pour right over the sides and out of the sieve. So we need to think of our migraine threshold as that sieve. It can handle migraine triggers at a slow and steady pace, but if you have too many triggers at once, then you're going to wind up surpassing your threshold, giving you a migraine. So this explains why some days you can eat that chocolate or have a glass of wine, and other days you get this piercing migraine from a square of chocolate and a half a glass of wine. Our goal is to work on raising that migraine threshold and live in a way that keeps us under it so that we can avoid our migraines. So I work on teaching people, you know, what that threshold is, and then their need for countless medications to control migraines and the many symptoms that they're having. You know, that need's going to go away because they've actually learned how to increase that threshold and how to stay well below it. And they can do that without having to follow super strict migraine diets, eliminating all the foods that they love, because I know that's a big complaint with a lot of people, even though they're dealing with so much pain. It's hard to live a life where you feel like you can't eat and drink the same things that everyone else is doing. And it is hard to give up your favorite things. So using this approach really does help.
You're going to talk more about that, I'm assuming, in the migraine web class that you offer. But what I'm taking from this is that you did awareness, right? We just need to be much more aware with what we're putting in our bodies, what we're exposed to, and how do we feel? How do we feel 20 minutes later? How do we feel 2 hours later, 2 days later? And it's hard. It's overwhelming. But we also want to simplify it. And that's kind of where you come in, just to give us actionable things to work on. It sounds like also maybe jotting things down, right? Like a journal. Like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
If you have people do that.
Yes, I do. In the Migraine Freedom from Method program, we actually do some daily journaling, but I've really simplified the process because a lot of people out there have these very in-depth daily tracking sheets that people feel extremely overwhelmed with. So we try to simplify the process, get the information, just the information that we need to help people move forward and, you know, reduce those migraines on a daily basis.
And the big thing is inflammation, like you said. So just bringing that inflammation down is going to not only help your headaches, but your joint pain, other stuff that you may have dealing with, gut pain, whatever, really. I mean, a lot of this illness and disease.
Absolutely. I do have a quick example on this inflammation a little bit more. Do we have time for that? Awesome. So
yes,
I'll use myself as an example. So if there was a day that there was a thunderstorm was moving in, you know, I had my monthly period. The night before, I tossed and turned all night because my brain wouldn't turn off and I only got like 6 hours sleep. And the next morning I get up, I'm rushing to work. I grab a donut and coffee for breakfast. I didn't make time for exercise because of a huge deadline I had at work, which I was stressed about. Then I forgot my lunch, so I had to grab a, you know, hot dog from the food cart, and my car got a flat tire on the way home. This is definitely a day that I shouldn't have wine and chocolate at the end of the day. But because I had a lousy day and was stressed, you feel like you deserve it, and you do. Well, all of those things that I listed, obviously, are migraine triggers. And because there were so many, that shoots you way over, you know, your migraine threshold. But on the other hand, if you live through a day where, you know, the weather's beautiful and sunny, I got 8 hours of sleep and woke up nice and refreshed. Let's say I had scrambled eggs and, you know, sauteed vegetables for breakfast, maybe did an hour of yoga and meditation, you know, had a nice healthy lunch. My boss was happy with me with the project. You know, those are all things that I engaged in which are actually anti-inflammatory, putting me way under my migraine threshold, kind of allowing me more to enjoy some of the things that on another day could trigger a migraine. So that might be a day where I can say, okay, I'd really like to have a small glass of wine or a piece of chocolate or, you know, do something that I know normally might trigger me. So this is kind of how you can use those shifts in food and lifestyle and environment to really help you without feeling that you have to be deprived. But again, you do have to pay attention, like you said, to knowing what has happened within your day. But it is very manageable once you start to recognize the things that are inflammatory versus, you know, anti-inflammatory.
Great example. What about medications for migraine?
So as far as medications, some people find temporary relief using them, but most after time find they become dependent on them and they stop working as well as they used to. Kind of turns into a vicious cycle. You get a migraine, you take your medication, the migraine comes back and you take more medication. So instead of treating the root cause, when you take this migraine, you're trying to cover the migraine up with medication. And eventually you need to take the medication more often because you're getting migraines, you know, more frequently. And the severity of the migraine has increased as well, keeping you in that vicious cycle of migraines and medication. This is actually called rebound or medication overuse headache. So if anyone ever sees MOH, this is what they're talking about. The fact that this is not talking about someone who just takes a medication every once in a while. You know, so I'm not saying people shouldn't hold on to their ibuprofen or whatever if they get an occasional headache or migraine that this will work for. But these are people that have been taking so many medications because they just can't seem to get rid of their headaches that doctors are seeing that these are actually now causing the migraine. And if anyone listening is noticing that they're waking up with migraines or actually being woken up in the middle of the night with a migraine, rebound or MOH should be considered as the culprit. And a discussion should definitely be had with your doctor about that. And there's actually now evidence that this can happen with over-the-counter medications as well. So this isn't just limited to prescription medications. There are other medications people are taking as well that can trigger migraines. So if someone is on, let's say, anxiety medication or depressive medication, birth control, allergy medications, and so on, they should educate themselves definitely on the pros and cons of those meds and make an informed decision on whether or not to continue taking them because, again, they could be triggering migraines. But if someone is going to make some changes, please make sure that, you know, you consult your doctor, before doing so, because that's definitely a decision that the two of you should be making. But I do find that, and we all know all migraines have side effects. So as consumers, we just really need to educate ourselves on why we need the medication, for how long we need to take it, and what can be done to fix the root of the problem versus using a medication to cover up the symptoms. Because something to remember, no one is deficient in medication. You know, my body doesn't need sumatriptan or amitriptyline or ibuprofen or acetaminophen to survive. So taking these should really just be occasional while you're working on getting to the root cause, and definitely not a daily or frequent routine that you do.
I like that. No one is deficient in medication. I'm going to write that one down. That's a good one. Have you heard of Dr. Ben Lynch?
I have not.
Author of Dirty Genes? You should check him out. You really like his stuff. He posts a lot on Instagram. And his book, Dirty Genes, is awesome. All about epigenetics, turning genes on and off.
I am definitely going to check that out. Thank you for the recommendation.
Absolutely. So let's talk more about you, Debbie. So tell us more about your business and who you
So my primary focus is supporting women, usually busy working moms who are suffering with migraines, and women who are ready for their pain to be gone. I do love helping anyone ready to make changes to their overall health and wellness, but my main focus is helping those women get rid of their migraines like I had. I do conduct most of my business online, which allows me to help women from all over the world, which is really cool. I have women in my migraine community from all over the US and actually some from places like New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and London, just to name a few, which has been really great getting to know them. Based on my past experience and those women I've worked with, I created this comprehensive online Freedom from Migraine Method program, which is available to those who are ready to end that suffering with migraines. They're supported by myself and, a group of their peers going through the same things that they're going through. And I find that that is so helpful because they're there to support each other, to educate each other, share recipes with. And, I think they get so much out of that group that they actually find results a lot sooner. And then for those people who are looking for just a little bit more, for more of a one-on-one approach, I also work with people individually and in small groups as they move through the Freedom from Migraine method for a little added support and accountability. I don't do large groups, for small topics and migraines, that I stick within the program, but I do like working with really small groups to help maybe on some specific problems that people are having.
Migraine really isn't a large group. I mean, it affects a lot of people, but absolutely, to get to the root cause, it's very individualized.
Absolutely. So when someone's ready, we usually step on a call together. I call it the migraine breakthrough call. And that kind of allows us some time to talk about their specific migraine journey and how we can best work, together for their success. Because not everybody is, at that perfect place to start the program, which is why we get on the call. And it's so essential to determine the best way to support each person. And the call is definitely not a pressure situation. Each person will walk away from my call understanding how the choices they make daily can bring them closer to their freedom from migraines.
You're well prepared for this global pandemic. You're all on.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So I hear June is National Migraine and Headache Awareness
it
Month.
Is. It is.
That. I'm sure you did. So tell us about your upcoming
migraine. So I am really
class.
Excited to be conducting this Migraine Master Class. It's going to be on May 27th at 7 p.m. on Zoom. So these past months have been filled with so much stress for so many. I just felt like I wanted to get this class out to benefit so many people suffering with migraines because I'm noticing in my community that, I've seen a little bit of an uptick, and I'm sure, most of it has to do with stress and just not taking care of ourselves like we normally do. So in this free web class, all who attend, we're going to talk about how to start eating the foods they love again so they can go out with friends and family and not obsess over foods anymore. They're going to learn how to make some healthy choices without feeling deprived and finally not be afraid that each and every bite could give them a migraine. We're going to discuss some really simple ways for them to get their life back without having to take countless medications that don't typically work anyway and can actually cause migraines and increase their frequency and severity and have side effects, which could be harmful to their health. And then I'm going to share the secret to finally be free from migraines without following a complicated migraine elimination diet and wasting tons of money on the latest magic bullets that just don't work, plus a whole lot of other awesome tips that people can start implementing right away to work towards their migraine freedom.
Love it. Now, this is going to come out, I think, May 28th, so the day after. Don't you have something coming up in June as well?
So if in June, I will probably end up doing another class. So the best thing for people to do if they, if they hear this and the class has already happened, is to try to reach out to me on Instagram. My page is Be in the Balance. They can send me a DM and also access the link to any future classes that I may be having in my bio. And if they send me that DM and they've missed this one class, I would definitely get right back to them with the event that I have coming up in June. I just don't have the finalized date yet.
So is the best way for listeners to connect with you, is it Instagram?
Yes, right now the best way is Instagram. That would be perfect.
Perfect. And what's your handle again for that?
Be in the Balance.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk about the giveaway that you have for our listeners. First of all, thank you very much for doing that. Very gracious of you. So can you touch on that?
Absolutely. So this resource that I put together, I found it was extremely helpful for all of the people in my community to use when they were first starting out, trying to achieve that freedom from migraines, but still needed a little bit of help to get through their day. And it's called The 5 Things to Do When Your Head Starts Pounding. So these tips are 5 things that I share that people can use just to try to get through their day, because I know it isn't always possible to, go curl up in bed and, not take care of any responsibilities that you have. So these are 5 things that you're going to do the minute you feel that headache start or that migraine start coming on to see if you can knock that severity down or even if possible, get rid of that headache to get you through the day as you work through my program to try to be free from migraines.
So cool. So thanks again for that. Make sure you guys are following both of us for that giveaway. I'm going to announce that when I release this podcast Wednesday, May 28th. All right, Debbie, final question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here before, where are you taking them?
Ooh, that's a tough question. There's so many great attractions and things to do in Rochester. Mm-hmm. We don't always have the best weather. As we're recording this now, it's snowing. So
it's bad. I don't want to talk about it. Oh.
So if it was a beautiful day, I would head to Highland Park for a hike or to Park Ave to walk around. And then I love the red fern, so I'd probably go to the red fern for a meal and maybe hit up Cobbs Hill at sunset for the awesome skyline view. But if it was a typical day like today, I would probably head to the Rochester Museum and Science Center and stay inside and stay nice and warm.
Nice.
The funny thing, I asked my family this question as well, and their answer would be a little bit different. They would head to Steve's Diner for breakfast, then go to the Strong Museum or Seabreeze or Seneca Park Zoo, and they said you can't have somebody come to Rochester without getting them a garbage plate for dinner. Which I kind of had to agree. It's not maybe the healthiest thing, but it is, it's definitely a Rochester experience getting a garbage plate from Nick Tahu's. So,
If your migraine threshold's a little bit higher that day, go have a garbage plate, right?
exactly.
And Steve's Diner. Oh, I love Steve's. Talk about blood sugar swings, though. Those pancakes are bigger than my body. They're
Aren't
awful.
they crazy?
They're so good, though.
They are.
Well, great answer. And Debbie, thank you for your time. I really appreciate this. Like, this is right in the top five. I've done 39 podcasts. I learned a ton today, so thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out, and hopefully, we can start helping some women get free from migraines and stop living with that pain.
Amen to that. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value and will share this with family and friends to spread the wealth of knowledge that Debbie gave us today. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me, go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com, read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.